This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you were born among us into a very human family. You took up residence in our world. So there is a reason why we can come to you in prayer. Because you took an interest in us, because you came close to us, we know that you care about us. You stooped down to us and reached out to us. Therefore, we reach out to you. We pray, open our hearts, that we might be truly aware of your great gift unto us, so that we will be given the strength to become the people you call us and enable us to be. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning. One of my favorite stories was one that I learned in my days in Italy, and it comes from the people of the town of Gubbio, which is a town that does exist, and it's close to the town of Assisi. And the people of Gubbio were a very proud people. And they woke up one morning and they found a bunch of the townspeople murdered. They found body parts all over the town. It was a rather gory scene. But proud as they were, they said to each other, "Certainly it was not one of us. There is some outsider who must be doing this." They started to lock their doors at night, but lo and behold, another day they wake up, and sure enough, more dead bodies to be found. Convinced more than ever it was a stranger who would be doing this, because after all, the people of the proud town of Gubbio could never have done anything like this. Well, one morning they wake up. Somebody got up early that day, and they see a mean wolf walking around the town. The culprit has been found. It's a wolf. Not their wolf, they say, but a wolf. They don't know what to do about this wolf, so they do as anybody in those medieval days in Italy would have done. They go to the guy who talks to the animals. They go to the next town of Assisi and talk to Francis, who we know as Saint Francis. Francis has a meeting with the wolf. He comes back from that meeting with the wolf, and he calls the townspeople together and says, "You must do this. You must feed your wolf." The people of the town of Gubbio are very upset. "Not our wolf. Why should we feed this thing? We didn't ask this wolf to come to our town." Francis continues to tell them, "You must feed your wolf." Well, along the way, a few people start to put out some food, and sure enough, the murders stop. And sure enough, as time goes on, the people of Gubbio become less proud and less arrogant, and they learn to feed their wolf. This story is a special one in terms of the literal meaning of it, as well as the spiritual meaning. The people of Gubbio did not want to take responsibility for the bad that was going on. And yet, when it was only that they were able to take responsibility, that it was their wolf, and they did the things that needed to be done to tame the wolf, did the situation change from bad to better to good? This, I believe, overall, is the message that John the Baptist has to give us on this third Sunday of Advent: to take responsibility for our own lives and to feed our own wolves. Those things within us that in our pride and arrogance we are unwilling to look at and to say, there are some things in my life that I can work on. How often we can read what John the Baptist has to say and we think, yeah, John, you give it to those people. You give it to that group of people that I know are not following what they should be doing. Yet John is speaking to us. People came out to the wilderness to be baptized by John. Remember, we've talked about this walk from Jerusalem out to the wilderness. This is not an easy walk. If you've been to the Holy Land, it takes a long time to get out there. I have done it. It is not easy. And so there is some sense of commitment, or at least call to commitment, to a spiritual journey that these people have. They are not just a first-time hearer of what might be good news. Now, John is not exactly the most seeker-sensitive person. Can you imagine when we do our visitors today? Hello, I'm Mr. Jones, and I'm from Boynton Beach. Well, you brood of vipers. Who told you to come to St. Joseph's and flee from the wrath to come today, huh? I don't think there'd be many pledge cards being filled out by those visitors today. But it is people who are already on the journey. They have gone to some considerable lengths to get to where they are with John. It's people like us. It's people who are seeking baptism or have been baptized. And John knows that there are things in their lives that they need to get in order. If you truly want what you feel you are called to do here, to make a step forward, there are some changes in your life you need to make. And it's not about pointing out all the wolves in everybody else's life. It's looking at your life. And he gives some very practical things to these people that are applicable to us. He talks first about generosity. You got two coats? You know somebody that doesn't have a coat? Guess what? You ought to give them one of your coats. You've got a surplus of food? Other people have no food? Guess what? You should be helping using the blessings that you have from God to help others. Generosity. Then he goes on and he talks to those who have the tax collecting background of the day. And we know from Matthew the tax collector how mean those people and evil they could be, because anything they could get over and above what they were supposed to take was just fine with the government. And so he says, well, you want to do this spiritual journey? Start being more honest. To bring it to our own day and age, be honest in your business relationships. Be honest in your personal relationships. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with your God. Then he goes on and he addresses the soldiers. The soldiers who had power. In that day and age, there was a lot of dictatorial kind of power that these military people had. And the people knew that, and so when they were asked to do something that was not quite moral or right, the people would go ahead and do whatever the soldier said because they didn't want to be the next one who was hanging on a cross. And so John addresses those people. You have power in your life in this day and age. Don't misuse that power, whether it's in your business relationship, whether it's in your personal relationship with your family and friends. Do not abuse the power that has been entrusted to you. Use it to free people up, not to chain people in. You know, this gospel goes on, and we hear all these words that don't exactly sound like joy from John, and then the gospel ends today, and with these and other exhortations, John proclaimed to people the good news. And we're saying, well, where's the good news? Well, the good news is precisely this. When we are able to look at those areas in our lives, and we are able to clear that out and out of the way, that is where the joy is going to come in, because then we can become the people that God enables and calls us to be. It's the same in the other readings today. We have this beautiful Advent reading from the prophet Zephaniah, who addresses the people of Israel at a time of great corruption. And he's saying all these great things that are going to happen. But that is with the assumption that they are going to get the corruption out of their own lives so that God can enter in. Paul, in that beautiful letter to the Philippians, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice." Paul's in prison when he writes this. Look what all that Paul has gone through. Look what all that Paul had done and needed to clear out of his life, and he can finally get to that place where he says to those people who he dearly loves at the church in Philippi and say, "Rejoice always." It assumes that a lot has gone before it. There's that line in Philippians that follows that says, "Let your gentleness be known." That doesn't exactly capture the right sense. It's more than gentleness. In other places, it's translated forbearance. Because what he's trying to get at here is, and you can think of Paul's perspective, because he knows perhaps his life is coming to an end soon, but all that he has been through in his journey of faith, he knows that there is something greater to which we are headed. And when we focus on that, a lot of this stuff that we get caught up in, the wolves that we don't want to look at, that we don't want to feed, that's going to enable us to get to where we need to be, Paul can look at all that and say, "Oh, just let it go. It is so minuscule. Get rid of that." You know, when you put it in AA terms, you can't be joyous about getting sober until you stop drinking. You can't be joyous about the fact that you are going to only speak well of people until you stop gossiping. There are these stages that have to follow so that the joy can come upon us. This is what John, this is what Zephaniah, this is what Paul are trying to tell us. Make his paths straight. You know, when we are baptized ourselves, there are promises that are made, and I think we're familiar with these because every time we have a baptism here or on Easter or at other times of the year, we renew those baptismal promises. But there is, at the beginning of those promises, a renunciation of evil and a committing of our life to Jesus Christ. And even when we do the renewal, when we do it on Easter Sunday, we just sort of, I agree with that one. And we just throw it into one thing where we just say, "Do you reaffirm your renunciation of evil and renew your commitment to Jesus Christ?" And we all say, "I do." But that is a summary of some important things that I think sometimes we need to underscore. That there is this whole level of decision-making that has to take place before we can enter into that joy. Listen to all of these questions that we are asked when we're baptized. "Do you renounce Satan and all the spiritual forces of wickedness that rebel against God? Do you renounce the evil powers of this world which corrupt and destroy the creatures of God? Do you renounce all sinful desires that draw you from the love of God? Do you turn to Jesus Christ and accept him as your Savior? Do you put your whole trust in his grace and love? Do you promise to follow and obey him as your Lord?" These are the questions, really, that John is asking. It is not because he wants to feel that we are to be punished. It's because God has put into your heart this desire to go to the next level. And so he wants to enable us to remove the things that are going to get us there quick. The kingdom of God is at hand. May we look into our hearts and find the ways in which we are being called to feed our wolf, to take responsibility for our own life, so that the kingdom of heaven might be at hand for us. Amen.